But here we are at the beginning of the church year, beginning of the first Sunday of Advent. Advent begins with an answer, as I was reminded as I was doing some reading. It begins with an answer to despair. Advent isn't just the beginning of a celebratory triumphalism. Advent comes at a very interesting time for all kinds of reason. The season of Pentecost is over. Pentecost, the season in the church year, is almost half of the church year. And it's sometimes called ordinary time, ordinal time, it's a bunch of other things. But Pentecost is when we are called to be the church in a new way. We're called to be the church. We're called to do the work of the church. And that's what we've been doing for the last little while in the time of Pentecost. And we realize that in one sense it didn't work. In one sense only. The world isn't redeemed. It's not fixed. We've been working hard for the last months in the things that God has called us to, both big and small, to bring his kingdom here on earth. And it's just not here. Why? Well, it's because no matter how hard we work, no matter how much we do, no matter how much we internalize and realize that we are very much the body of Christ on earth, it's not all going to be fixed until Christ comes back. We don't know all that goes into that. We don't know everything about it. But we see over and over again in Scripture that there will come a time when Jesus will return, and that's when everything will be fixed. And so for some people at this time of year, they're coming out of an exhausting Pentecost or an exhausting school year or whatever it might be, and they're moving into Advent and they're thinking, I really need something more. Well, that's perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with being aware that we are lacking things and that we need more than we can provide for ourselves, because that's true. That's the way it is. We need Christ because we can't do everything ourselves. Advent takes us back to the beginning of things, to the beginning of what it is that we believe. Because when Jesus came the first time, he came as hope in the midst of hopelessness. Jesus came into a chaotic world with an oppressive superpower, with a people who were feeling very much oppressed, the Jews and many others were. It wasn't a great time. No matter how pleasant the artwork is of the time of Jesus' birth, it wasn't that great. It certainly wasn't perfect by any means. There were lots of things wrong, and Jesus came into that. Advent comes into that too. And it's not that this is a time where we get together and get depressed at the beginning of Advent, but it's important for us to remember that Jesus comes into the reality of the world we're in, not into the reality that we wish was here, but into the messy one we live in. Just like he came the first time into not a fancy hospital, not even a fancy hospital by the context of the day. He was barely born in the back of a taxi on the way to the hospital. A messy time that he came. And Advent, and this is where the sermon title comes from, Advent is all about hope, but it's hope in the middle. It's hope in the middle. It's not hope at the end. Most of us, when we were younger, when we were at our own birthday parties or Christmas or any time, you know, when Grandpa and Grandma came and they always brought gifts or whatever it might have been, this isn't the hope when the gifts have come out, we hope there's one there for us, because that's not really hope at all. We know there's one there for us. This is the hope that's in the middle when Grandpa and Grandma haven't shown up yet. This is the hope when you're halfway through the year and your last birthday is a half a year behind you and the next one's a half a year in front of you and you can't make it come any faster. This is a hope that comes for those of us who loved Christmas when we were little, when we suddenly thought, oh, I wonder what Christmas is going to be like in March. Advent celebrates the first coming of Jesus and looks forward to his second coming. It's a both and, as so many things in our faith is. Our Isaiah lesson, our Old Testament lesson, the Isaiah reading, captured the longing of faithful people for God to break in. Isaiah is saying, in the midst of another time that was hardly perfect, saying, God, we need you to come, and I want you to come right now. I want you to tear open the heavens. I'm tired of this. I want you to fix all this stuff, which is, well, I think it's a cry that's been in all of our hearts at least once. For some of us, many times. And if we're not careful, we'll dismiss that as, well, I just want the easy way out or something like that. It's not like that at all. Isaiah wanted God to come in because Isaiah realized that what was going on was beyond the ability for clever humans to solve. And that's where we are now. That's where we've always been. The ultimate problems of sin and what goes on in human hearts are beyond human cleverness to fix for good. We can make many things better, and we have. We can fix all kinds of things, and we do. But those ultimate solutions are beyond us. But when we move into our Corinthians reading, when we read about Paul, when we read what Paul talks about, Paul is reminding us again that we live between these two advents, between Christ coming the first time and Christ coming again. We live between hidden and revelation. God's purposes in some ways were hidden, and then Jesus came and revealed them in brand new ways that were clear. And then he left and it became kind of hidden for us again. Or at least not as clear as we'd like, but when he returns, it will be perfectly clear. That's what we see in Mark, and that's what we saw frequently over the last few weeks in Matthew. That the time will come when God's reality will be unmistakable in the same way that gravity is unmistakable. It'll just be a thing that everyone knows. But we're not there yet. Paul reminds us that we live in the middle ground between guilt and blamelessness. We're forgiven, redeemed people. But we're not ultimately transformed. We're not ultimately perfected, because we can't be. Because we still live in this fallen world. We're still troubled by the guilt that we carry, the guilt of the things that we've done. And it doesn't mean that we're not forgiven. It means that we're not complete. We're not finished. And of course we're not finished, because we're still here. We're still doing things. But in the midst of all of this, Paul reminds us here and in other places that as we live in this space between the two advents, it is God who has faithfully said, I will be with you. And I will provide for you the gifts for you to do those things that you are required to do and that you need to do and that you want to do. It's not a perfect world we live in yet. It doesn't mean that we stop trying to make it so. One of the things that the spiritual gifts do for us is enable us through that power of the Holy Spirit to do more than we would be able to through our own abilities, through our own experience, through our own talent, through our own wisdom. The Holy Spirit makes things even more so than we could do. Because in the midst of this between time, we still are called to make a difference where we are, to make a profound difference in our communities, in our homes, in workplaces, wherever we find ourselves. And we've been called to make that difference, not just in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left after his first advent, one of the things he said is, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not abandoning you. I'm leaving the Holy Spirit behind, who will do more for you than I can. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I leave, that the Holy Spirit might come. As we spend our time, as we spend our lives in this moment between the two advents of Jesus, we're called to exercise those gifts that we have to do what we can, to do our part in moving us towards that ultimate perfection. Will we achieve it before Jesus comes back? I don't think so. Scripture seems to indicate that in many places, and I know there are people immeasurably smarter than me who think otherwise, but no matter what, we are called to work until that time. And we work not just on our own. We work in community. One of the things that Paul says is that one of the demonstrations of the reality of God is a community that is undivided. Like this one. Does that mean that everyone in this room agrees with everybody else in everything? Of course not. That's silly. We can be united, even though we have differing opinions about all kinds of things, because we're united around what's most important. We're united around the deep and unshakable belief that God has called us to do things as individuals and as this church body that only we can do, because we all have our unique contexts, and so does this church. We begin Advent, the season of Advent, well aware of how far we have to go, but we also are well aware of how far we've come. I don't know very many people who would choose to return to, well, the world that Jesus left. Lots of good things have happened in these intervening hundreds and hundreds of years. Christian people in the church have made a profound difference and a valuable difference in the lives of people, just like we can do now. Advent is certainly part of getting us ready for Christmas, getting us ready for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. But Advent also reminds us of how far we have to go until we get to that ultimate goodness of Jesus' second return. Advent is hope in the middle. It's being hopeful that what Jesus said he would do, what the Bible says God will do, will be done. We move forward with hope, because without hope, I don't really think we move forward at all. I love the fact that Advent begins with hope, because hope drives all the rest of them. It's hope that enables us to move forward even when we're not so sure we're doing everything we can, even when we know we don't know everything we would like to know. We do it because we have hope. And we don't just have hope in hope. We don't have hope in some nebulous something that hopefully something not awful will happen. We have hope in God. We move into the season of Advent, reminding ourselves that Jesus came once to make a profound difference, an ultimate and an eternal difference in the lives of all human beings. And that it's that same Jesus who said, "I will return." As we wait for that return, we celebrate his first coming. We celebrate what has happened. We celebrate the goodness of this world we live in, the goodness of the people around us, aware that it's still a fallen world, that it's a world where people do extraordinary acts of kindness and goodness, and where we're called to do what it is that only we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring the reality of Jesus into every place we go. Advent is 4 weeks, which I think is just about the right amount of time for us to get ready for something significant. Christmas is a wonderful time. And over the years, I've come to realize that it's even more wonderful if we don't let it sneak up on us. It's even more wonderful if we spend these weeks before the celebrations of Christmas reminding ourselves where we've come from, where we're going, and where we are now. In a place that, for most of us, would probably not be considered perfect. But also for most of us, I think, would be better than it's been in other days. Certainly better than it could be. And gives us hope that we're moving towards those things that will ultimately be made perfect when Jesus returns with the second advent. Amen.